Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the long-lasting power you need with Energizer. Menards has the largest in-stock selection of Energizer batteries. They provide solid power for flashlights, remotes, and so much more. Right now, save big on Energizer batteries. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Innocence died with the first shovel of dirt. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
The trial of Richard Allen continues on in Delphi, Indiana. Is he the man who killed those two little girls, Abby Williams and Libby German, back in 2017 near the Monon High Bridge, where everybody likes to walk out in that part of the country? We've heard a lot of very interesting testimony, including confessions from Richard Allen. Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. We don't have the option of listening to the confessions, but people in the courtroom just the other day did. They heard the phone call to his mother and to his wife in a very weird way, I guess I would say, confessed to the murders. Not at all what he said initially when questioned by investigators. But after, I'm going to call it what it is, torture in the solitary confinement, after torture, mocking and stuff by guards, things that really should not be going on in a U.S. prison, but have, he finally said, I did it. But is there any weight to the credibility of that? Jennifer, what's your thoughts on where this is at right now?
Well, I feel like I'm on a teeter-totter,
yeah,
and it's not moving.
We're kind of stuck in the middle.
Down, it's not moving up.
Yeah,
and it's interesting because almost nothing has changed, really, since even before trial.
No.
I mean, here we have, what is the evidence against Richard Allen? He said he's there. Well, we've known that since 2017. He said he's there again in other interviews. So we know he's there.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not there at the crime scene. He's there at the Monon High Bridge,
mm-hmm,
which is not where those girls were murdered.
Yeah.
So there's a differentiation, but certainly he was there. The car, there's been a PT Cruiser described. There's been a smart car described. There's been an SUV described. He had a Ford Focus, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So his car was never identified as being there. As far as eyewitness identification regarding him exactly, there are more eyewitness. In other words, no one can say Richard Allen.
Yeah.
The descriptions are just all over the board, just like the two photos that we saw initially, and just like the fact nobody can seem to say whether the guy on video is Richard Allen or someone else. It's kind of the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
Some people see and say, yes, I remember years ago when they said a specialist came in and said he's 6 foot to 6 foot one. Now we're seeing specialists say 5 foot six. And then you notice nothing was brought in about those details because it's just not a science.
Yeah.
Regarding that video. So here we are, you know, we have these confessions, but in my opinion, they're tainted. They're tainted because of the zealousness of the prosecutor's office and of law enforcement to put him in a maximum security confinement instead of just saying, yeah, put him in the Carroll County Jail. The jail is open. It's got the bars. He can see people. He can have a pad. He can communicate. If he would have said that under less horrible, you know, circumstances and conditions, I would be much more inclined to believe what he said. Also, they're all over the place. Even the early ones now we're seeing where we understand now a lot more of, you know, wiping feces on the wall, drinking and washing his face in toilet water, banging his head against the wall. Some people say it's for show. I don't know. That's a lot of show, and it's gone on for a long period of time. We also know now he was drugged involuntarily, you know, to get him under control. That's just a lot to trust what comes out of somebody's mouth in that circumstance.
Well, I mean, if we just break this down for a moment and take the crime out of it, take just a random person, take a random person, put them in solitary confinement for a year, subject them to everything that you just listed. And then would you believe anything that person says?
it's truly just the most, if people can picture the cells, just the size of those cells, I think they said very specifically, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe they were 6 by 12.
Yeah, it was like a closet, basically. It's like going into a closet and spending a year there.
You have one mat, right, to lay on that would be so uncomfortable. You have three sides that are solid and one side that's almost solid with a sliver of light.
Yeah.
And you're there. You know, they decide when the lights are on, when the lights are off, and you have nothing.
Yeah.
But you. I think certainly conditions like that can lead to madness. I thought what was really interesting were a couple of things. One was the first interviews when he was talked to out of confinement and how adamant he was. And he acted, in my opinion, as an investigator, how I expect somebody who is innocent to act.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually very defiant. They're angry. They're, you know, go ahead and look. You're not going to find anything, you know. And so a lot of his, and again, unfortunately, we didn't get to see the interrogation. Recall that the interviews that were conducted during this time were all copied over.
Yeah,
we don't have
just accidentally. We have this major case in our very small town, and we're accidentally losing all the evidence we have.
It's all gone, copied over. You know, the Miranda, that's not even recorded. It's very, as a law enforcement officer, it's just hard to, you don't want a Monday morning quarterback, but this one's a jaw dropper. People think Karen Reed is a jaw dropper. No, this is a jaw dropper. Having said that, do they have the right guy? I don't know. They mention a van, right? He mentions a van in one of the confessions. And the law enforcement is able to corroborate a van, but then was that van mentioned before? Yes. Was the van known to Dr. Walla? You know, Dr. Walla is a big piece in this, and Dr. Walla has put herself out there as in a total embarrassment by being involved in communities on social media and finding out all sorts of clues and interacting with social media sleuths. And then yet she is supposed to be an impartial interviewer and psychologist for Richard Allen. It's really mind-blowing.
I think what we're seeing a lot here is a culture within the law enforcement community and anybody involved in that community of me. I'm going to do whatever I can to benefit myself in whatever situation I'm in. If I screwed something up, well, I'm going to cover that up. If I did this or that, I'm going to cover that up. Let's keep covering this up. Let's keep acting inappropriately. And somebody will cover for all of our bad acts. That seems to be what we have going on here, all the way down to the psychologists who are like, maybe this person can provide some credible information, but even they are corrupt and twisted. In this whole thing, it just seems to be a very bizarre culture of we are going to force the narrative of what we think is right down everybody's throats. And for the most part, I'm guessing it's worked. Otherwise, they wouldn't continue to do it. But they got a lot of backlash on this one. And some people dragging their feet going, yeah, I don't think so. And I don't think they're accustomed to that there in Delphi, this amount of not smooth sailing when they think they know what is right and want to punish those that they deem to be wrong and evildoers without a fair trial.
Well, I want to say, first of all, again, I'm a blue blood. I'm blue to the core, you know, 28 years in law enforcement. And I can tell you that most law enforcement officers, a huge amount, 90%, mm-hmm. are amazing. They're, sure. What they, you know, their decisions, everything they're doing, they are driven by good mm-hmm. and trying to do the right thing. I think in this case, there was just so much incompetence. First of all, the bodies, as you know, were not found by law enforcement. They were found by searchers that were helping to look. And then a law enforcement, you know, happened upon the scene. This is something, Delphi is so small. They're you know, law enforcement presence is so small. They had never had anything like this. It wasn't properly secured, that scene. Evidence wasn't properly collected. The state police get involved. A month later, the Bureau gets involved. Then they're basically removed, you know, within a couple of years. It's just so poorly handled. Like any case, the most important time is the initial finding of those bodies and securing it, keeping everyone out. I mean, we should have had footprint impressions of the killer. You know, we didn't have any of that. Why? The whole crime scene was trampled. You know, there's pieces of evidence that were found, a belt that was found, a green sash that was found that was supposedly not processed, the quote-unquote rune or the hand mark, we think now, right, of Libby on the tree. It took forever to process that. The branches that were laid over top of them weren't taken into evidence right at that moment. Mm-hmm. Photographs weren't taken of that bullet. Where was that bullet really found? There's just so much that was done wrong in that crime scene evaluation early on that I think that's why we're in a mess we are right now, at least for somebody like me looking at it hard. If they're feeding that jury, I don't know.
I don't know why I'm shocked, but I am a bit shocked. I was thinking maybe once this thing starts, there's going to be a bit more competency going on here in terms of law enforcement and the investigation. There's just facts we didn't know about is what I was thinking. More things will come out in court and it'll make a lot more sense. There's just things that they can't reveal right now. That doesn't appear to be the case. It actually appears to be more incompetency than we actually ever expected. Let's talk about the FBI, who did step in. They wanted to help. They offered their services. And Delphi said, nah, we're good. I mean, it almost reminds me of, like, kids and, like, parent knocks on the door. Hey, we want to check out what's going on in there. Everything's fine, Mom. It's good. Go away. And then eventually, Mom goes away. And then, you know, somebody tries to cover up whatever they did. Mom eventually figures it out, or mom's just never allowed back in the room. That's what it feels like with this whole FBI thing. Like, why would you turn down the resources of the FBI if your goal is to figure out what happened here and get justice for these kids? Resources that you don't have in Delphi, but resources that could potentially take a look at your investigation and go, why did you or did you not do these things? This is like just investigation 101. What's your thoughts?
Well, when you look at the FBI, right, they came in March, so about a month later. And the problem was, if you will, for Delphi, is the FBI put together a probable cause affidavit, and they very much believe Ron Logan, who was the owner of that property where they were murdered, that he very much was responsible for this. And, you know, the affidavit is pretty compelling, but it was so late into the game when they searched his residence, there wasn't much there to find, as you can imagine, a month later. It's very interesting that I think ideologically between the Bureau and the locals, they did not have the same belief in terms of investigative, where the investigation should go. And at the end of the day, the Bureau, the FBI, has absolutely no venue in this case, unless there was public corruption. And again, public corruption mimics incompetence.
Yeah.
And I really think this was incompetence that turned to embarrassment. And, and so, the, you know.
It kind of leads to my next question about Ron Logan. I mean, is there, I mean, I'm just asking you to speculate here. Is there any connection with Ron Logan to law enforcement, or any reason why anyone would want to protect Ron Logan from exposure to this crime, if in fact, if he was responsible for it in some way, shape, or form? We know he's dead now, obviously, but you know, was there any reason to not go into looking at Ron further from the local Delphi official standpoint?
I mean, you ask a great question. I have never seen any link between Ron Logan and law enforcement or anybody as to why they wouldn't want to move forward against him. But, you know, it really does beg that question. What local law enforcement said at the time was, well, he was just too old to commit this crime. But Tony, older gentlemen have a lot of, or can have a lot of, the same sexual drive. And remember, this really isn't about sex. This is about power. This is about control. This is about a deviant behavior toward children. That's what really this is all about. And my big question is, if Richard Allen were this huge deviant, such a deviant that he could do the acts that we now know about, where is all the pornographic evidence and the sadistic evidence on his 20 plus phones that were seized? I understand that the one apparently from 2017 is purportedly missing. A phone isn't missing. Where was the evidence from the carrier? Why didn't they put them on the stand and say, listen, he turned the phone in, this is what happened? Where is all of that?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. I either missed it or it didn't happen. I have to say, this has been the most frustrating situation, because the reporting, there's so many there, so many on social media reporting, so much hodgepodge, I call it. Like, one minute I look and this person's saying this, and this person's this, and this person's this, and then everybody has their own agenda.
Yeah.
So I feel like some of the local reporters, I think, are doing a really good job just being more fact-based, but it's hours and hours and hours of testimony. So for us out here in the public, it's just so hard to decipher truth, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing it through everybody's prism and perspective of that case. This is all you get when you don't have cameras or audio or anything in the courtroom. Keegan Klein, obviously another person who raised a lot of eyebrows, considering he was communicating with one of the girls, even had talked about meeting with her on the day of the murder, eventually arrested on child porn charges. He's in prison 40-some years. He may get out. How deep did they look into him? And I mean, this, that to me, when I hear the story of planning to meet her the day that they were going, that they died. Why? Why no more on Keegan Klein? Does he have a rock-solid alibi when we really truly look at it from an objective standpoint? Could he have talked to other people that are into, I don't know, child porn and that sort of stuff, which he clearly was, and said, hey, you know, these girls are out there. If you want to go meet them, you know, into another predator. I don't know how the predator community works. But assuming maybe they talk like that. How deep of a dive have they done into Keegan Klein to completely rule him out, in your opinion?
Well, they did a good deep dive, and obviously they were able to, charge him with a slew of child porn charges, which he's been convicted of and he's in jail for. But what's very interesting about Keegan Klein, of course, is you bring up the meeting that was trying to be coordinated through Anthony Schatz, which Anthony Schatz was, of course, his catfisher, his good-looking, strapping young persona. That was communicating with all these young girls. But what I always found interesting on this was Keegan Klein, through Anthony Schatz, had communicated with another girl right after this incident, and a masked person showed up at that girl's residence right after the communications with Anthony Schatz. And to me, that's another thing, as you said, so I don't think it was ever Keegan Klein. If you know, Keegan Klein is this gigantic, overweight, almost looks disabled in terms of his physical capability, certainly not bridge guy. And so never did it cross, I don't think, anybody's mind that it was him per se, but was it somebody he communicated with? Remember, this is all salacious group of people that, you know, trade these, you know, pornographic images like trading cards and communicate and try to get more. And so was he, were other people privy to the Anthony Schatz account information and this hookup? And it begs the question after what happened after this with, you know, this girl that right after that communication saw this
what kind of man, investigating you know, was masked. Done on that masked man that showed up at the other girl's house?
Well, they did an investigation, but no, you know, reached no conclusion that I ever read about. No one was charged. And you remember Keegan Klein too, they were so convinced of somehow his involvement, probably through the Anthony Schatz account. So whether he was there or not, again, somebody else, they got him out of jail. This is a huge, huge feat. You have to have everyone involved in this on the law enforcement spectrum, on the prosecution spectrum, because you are going, and I've done it before, that's how I know, to convince somebody basically to say you're unincarcerated for a day. Mm-hmm. And all that entails, if anything happens when they're out, if they escape, if they hurt somebody, anything like that, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. So they took him out again to you know, comb the, you know, waterway, you know, because Keegan Klein had made up all this information, which they had believed, which ended up being not true. But the bottom line is, I think they did a pretty good job investigating him, but I don't know if they got to the bottom of everything because, again, they didn't utilize FBI forensic digital investigators, to my knowledge, on everything Keegan Klein had.
Gosh. Where do you think this goes from here? I mean, right now, looking, I thought he would be convicted just because of the way that the Delphi seemed to be setting up the case. At this point, I don't really think he will be. I think there's enough reasonable doubt that a reasonable human being will go, yeah, I can't say for sure that it's Richard Allen. Let's say he does get off. Let's say he's set free after this. What happens in Delphi after that? Do they start looking again for somebody else, or do they just say, well, we think it was him and he got off? How do you think the authorities, I mean, the community is going to handle it one way, the authorities are going to handle it another way. How do you think that all plays out after this if Richard Allen is found not guilty?
Well, as long as the same sheriff is in charge and the state police, their command does not change, that's exactly what they're going to do, is option B. Yeah. Oh, we had the right guy and they screwed it up in the courtroom. But this is what I think. I think he will be convicted.
Really?
You know, out here in the public, you know, we cuss and discuss all of this, and we look with a fine-tooth comb at information that was never allowed into evidence. The geofencing isn't coming in. You know, the information about the belt, I didn't see that in there. The information about, well, we'll see. We haven't seen the defensive side of things. But essentially, a lot that we get to see out here isn't coming in there.
Sure.
And so because of that, I think that they're going to say, they're going to believe that that bullet belonged to him.
Yeah.
I have huge reservations about that because it was shot through a gun was the only way they could get the tool mark, which are the extractor and the ejector to match. Right.
Pretty weak evidence, though, to sentence someone for murder.
Oh, I know. But I think they'll do it. I think they'll add it all together and they'll say, well, some people go in, some jurors, unfortunately, go in and they truly believe law enforcement wouldn't ever go after anybody that wasn't not guilty. And they have so much trust in law enforcement. So you have that factor working at you. And then you have the fact he was there. They're going to really drive home that van and make it seem like I think that no one knew about the van but him, which isn't accurate. I think that they're going to focus in on the confessions. I think the jurors will think, why in the world, crazy or not, in those conditions or not, because nobody's ever been in those conditions, why would anybody confess to something they didn't do? And I think that's going to be a big factor in this. And then I think they're going to say that bullet was his. There's no reason for that bullet to be down by those bodies, but for him to have been there. And I think they're going to look at him, many jurors, and they're going to say, I think that's him because of the blue Korhat jacket, the general appearance, right? Even though he looks like my dad, right? He looks like any farmer. It's so nondescript, that video. I think they'll convict him. I think we're going to see a conviction here. I actually don't even think it's going to take much time.
Wow.
In a sense, I hope I'm wrong because I'm not convinced. If I were convinced, but I can't get convinced with him.
Well, I'm hoping that there's more critical thinkers on the jury than not, that at the least this will end up in a mistrial. But I totally see where you're coming from. I could very well see it going exactly how you're saying. I'm going to go on the glass half full on this one and hope that because there's more people who can think beyond just the basics of what they're seeing. I know a lot of people can't, but maybe, I don't know. We'll find out. As of now, I've not been convinced that Richard Allen is this person. I've been convinced that the police just didn't do a very good job is where it's at for whatever reason. I don't even think it was like a conspiracy of, I just think it's bad behavior or bad policing. Nobody wanted to be accountable for. And this is where we've ended up. And still everybody's got their, you know, their lies up or their version of the story. And it's not going to go anywhere other than that. And we'll probably end up be talking about this again about a year or two from now when trial number two starts. I'm hoping it ends.
Maybe. And Tony, I will say in this case, it's a little different than some of the other cases that we've looked at from the standpoint of there was big motivation in this case because there was a sheriff's race underway.
Yeah.
And there was big motivation to get this crime solved. It was kind of the platform, you know, that the person was running and espousing that, you know, I'm going to get this crime solved and kind of all about him, right? And so there was a lot at stake, I think. And that's why I always said, did he confess to somebody else? What put their needle on him again? I have been so disappointed that there was nothing.
Yeah.
It was simply that they supposedly relooked at everything. That makes no sense to me.
No.
That there wasn't something larger. And there it never came out. Nothing.
It's scary when political motivations get into crime world and judging the innocence or guilt of someone. I mean, we're seeing it right now, and I'm not expressing an opinion on this. I mean, I'll express an opinion. I think the Menendez brothers should be out. I think they've served their time. But what you're seeing there is the DA is releasing them, and it looks very political. He's up for re-election, and he wants the support of being the guy who freed the Menendez brothers after all those years of abuse, which I think is the right move. But is it being done because it's the right thing to do, or is it being done because he wants to get votes? This almost was the exact opposite. People needed their villain. People needed their bad guy. The sheriff found the bad guy, and he wasn't going to hear anybody's arguments any other way. And now we're starting to hear about the arguments every other way and what was done incorrectly, which turns out it ultimately was to get elected, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, this is just one of those cases that has that. And it's a perfect analogy right now with Gascon Los Angeles. He's up for re-election in December. What a feather in the cap with something to drive home, especially when you have Hollywood behind you. Yeah. And all those huge platforms like the Kardashians that are, you know, begging for him to get out. And we've seen that needle move. It's unbelievable to me. I know you and I have a difference of opinion, but we can always discuss it intelligently, which I like.
Yes, exactly.
I don't like you any less because you think they should get out, Tony.
Exactly, yeah.
I still think you're a good dude.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, if I could be convinced beyond a reasonable doubt that they were sexually abused, we know they were emotionally treated very harshly and verbally.
Yeah.
There's just too much. Actually, I've been pouring back over in my spare time as I'm driving or whatever, been listening to the trial again, believe it or not. I mean, you know, to the very key witnesses and I tell you, the big problem is Lyle Menendez, I really think, just orchestrated this whole thing. And I had never known about the book, you know, the book of all his recordings and why he wasn't allowed on the stand the second time. I just didn't remember that. 1990 was a pretty busy time.
Sure.
90 through 94 for me. But, you know, boy, when you hear out of his own mouth him saying, devising this plot basically to use the sexual assault excuse, it's way too much for me to overcome.
Sure, sure. It's a lot of thoughts on that case. It's just disturbing when politicians use it to their advantage for election when we're talking about people's freedom, innocence, or guilt. And I feel like that was a big factor here in the Delphi case. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. Yeah.
Sorry, Tony. Yeah. That is a great point.
Yeah.
You know, politics should never weigh in one way or the other.
Exactly. Yeah, 1,000%. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, thank you for joining us to talk in depth about this crazy case. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in. And then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In a quiet Chicago suburb, a star wrestler goes missing weeks before his high school graduation, shattering his mother's carefully curated image of the perfect family. Upstanding Young Man by Sharon Doering is a pulse-pounding thriller described as tense, evocative, and surprising. Available now wherever books are sold.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.